day, and I get the microphone, so I want to share one of my husband's memorable Father's Days. He was working early hours cleaning McDonald's in order to feed the family, so he was leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was leaving tired, working cleaning toilets. It was hard slog. He was studying, he was doing some of his Bible studies, and it was really not the best and easiest of times within our family. So the children got together and they decided that they were going to spoil him. And they flew up the Melbourne boy and smuggled him into the house. And when the alarm went off at 2:30 in the morning, the Melbourne boy and the other children, I mean, he's a young man, he's 30 now, he's hardly a boy, but he was still an adult, and they all surprised him by going in and jumping on the bed and giving him gifts. And Steve, the Melbourne boy, was with us for only, he flew out from the Gold Coast at 9 o'clock that night. So he was there for about 24 hours. And they passed on a specially made bobblehead. Does anyone know what a bobblehead is? One of those little bodies with a bouncing head. They had one made in his image. And it sits at pride of place at our house and bobbles away. So Father's Day sometimes just passes with not much fuss. And other times you've got surprise visitors from all over the place. Back to our gospel message today. According to Luke in chapter 1, we find an angel of the Lord talking to Zechariah, a not yet father. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had not been able to have a child. But good news. How many times does an angel say good news? Here the angel is telling Zechariah that after all this time, a child will be born. And it will be a son, and he will be named John. How am I going with this battle that we have? And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It's reasonable to believe that John the Baptist is in fact the prophet Elijah written of in today's Malachi passage. And Jesus agrees. And if you are willing to accept it, that he is the Elijah who was to come, he who has ears, let him hear. Are we listening? From these passages, it's reasonable to believe that John the Baptizer's mission is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and he will do it to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Do we want to be a people prepared for the Lord? In Matthew 3:3, we also read of John the Baptist. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. The concept of a straight path doesn't mean a straight line. In the times in which this was written, it was customary that whenever a king travelled, a crew of people would precede them along the road, making sure there was nothing there to impede the journey, to make sure that it was safe, make sure there were no dangers. The road would be prepared, obstacles removed, and guarded from danger. The road would be made straight, or in other words, tidy, smooth, clear, for a safe and easy journey. Interesting that there is imagery here of people on their hands and knees clearing the road, and that's where we should be, on our knees, making the path straight for Jesus. We must understand that this is not John the Baptist who is to make the road straight. The voice calling in the desert is calling to us. It is to us, up to us to prepare the way for the Lord. It is us who must make the path straight. So we go back to Malachi. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So what was a father in the time of Malachi? Perhaps the head of the household? Perhaps a teacher, mentor, provider, protector? To be true to the Malachi text, there's at least two possible interpretations for the parent-child in this relationship in this verse. One finds the fathers to be the literal fathers and literal offspring. In other words, the focus is on the social relationships within the family context. The other interpretation focuses on our spiritual relationships, the parents of the faith and the children as the inheritors of that faith. But is it possible that it could be both? Not one or the either, but and both. Please allow me to wrap up my thinking on fathers, children, Jesus, John the Baptist, and straight paths. Wrapping it kind of together, whether literally or spiritually, by blood or by bond, it seems that those of us who are older, more experienced, and more powerful are responsible for those who are younger, less experienced, more vulnerable. In practical and spiritual terms, we are called to use what we have to make the path straight between them and Jesus, to go down on our hands and knees to remove obstacles and dangers in prayer and in practical ways. This responsibility is not solely for the fathers, the dads, the blood relatives, not just the guys that got socks and hankies and undies on Father's Day today. The way I read these verses, all of us who are older and in any way able are to be involved in the spiritual growth, the faith development of the children, to model what a healthy relationship with a living, loving Creator looks like, to pray with and for our children, to practically ensure that they are taught the historical scriptures and how that applies to their era, their current and evolving world, to commit to nourishing their spirits as well as their bodies, providing safe spaces to exercise their spiritual gifts and calls, supporting them through their trials and celebrating their successes. I want to share a little story with you that I was witness to up in Carryong just recently. My husband pastors Carryong Community Baptist Church, and it's about the same size as this congregation. There's a couple of children, just a small number of children, and one of those little children is called Ed. Now, Ed is 6 years old, and he's as blonde and as blonde and as bouncy as any child has ever been. Ed's particular passion is to get ready for church and put a suit on. You can picture a six-year-old wearing a suit. And he loves ties. So he bound into church one day. It's a very casual congregation. You're talking about lots of shorts and t-shirts. And Ed. So little Ed comes in and he's wearing his shirt and his suit and his tie, but his tie's come undone. And his dad doesn't know how to tie it. So my husband goes down on his knees and ties this tie. He's quite proud of his efforts, and so is Ed, and goes prancing around the church, only to come back to Chris about 10 seconds later wearing a bow tie. Chris said, "What happened? Did the tie fall off? What happened?" And Ed goes, "It's my new one," and points over to Jeff. Jeff is a retired pastor who has proudly given Ed a bow tie and a bag of other bow ties. And so Ed has a bow tie for every day of the week, not just church Sundays. Watching this young boy parade around the place, feeling so at home, so welcome, so embraced as part of a family, with more than one dad. His dad's a great bloke, but his other male role models are also great blokes who know how to speak Ed's language. God is calling each of us, not just the fathers, but the mothers, the grandparents, the uncles, the aunts, of blood and of choice, to make paths that lead directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paths that are easy and safe to travel. So how do we do this, individually and as the family of West Ryde Community Church? How can we do what we do even better? Often on Father's Day, we celebrate the fabulous fathers, and so we should, on more days than just one day a year. Yet today, I want to challenge us to take seriously the care and nurture of our young ones. Which young person are you regularly praying for? We have a handful of adults on the Mini and Oasis roster, and only one dad. Could you add your name? You are not too young, too old, too short, or the wrong colour. Cindy can't restart playgroup because there's not enough people to help, despite the enormous need in our community and the enormous resources we have stored over in the hall. Could you offer your time? Or your money, and maybe we can employ someone. We can be creative. Who are you mentoring? Who's mentoring you? How could you model the love of Jesus to a young person? How do you already do that? Can I encourage each of us to make ready a people prepared for the Lord? And we go on to communion, which